or maybe your neighbor, a Christian or a Muslim or somebody may ask, can you tell me briefly what is Hinduism? How many of you know how to answer? And some Hindus also feel it is extremely complex, complicated, difficult to understand. Is it really? I do not think it is really difficult. But I can tell you, Hinduism is like a beautiful building standing on four pillars. If we know what those four pillars are, the rest of it is explanation only, detailed explanation. What are the four pillars? The first pillar of Hinduism, there is only one reality, truth, called Brahman. There is only one reality or truth called Brahman. This is the first pillar. Everything else is derived from it. Then what about this? I am sitting here and talking. You are sitting and hopefully listening. What about you? Are you the truth? No. Am I the truth? No. Anyway, just now I recalled a beautiful story, very popular in North India, Himalayan region. Some of us also know it. There was a king. And one day, he was dreaming. A neighboring king declared war. This king also had to fight for his life. He was completely defeated and he was running away. So he ran and ran and ran until he crossed his kingdom's border. Now he is out of danger. He reached a village from the next kingdom. You could understand, he was exhausted, hungry, thirsty. So suddenly, to his great delight, he saw some generous soul was distributing food to poor people. So he was so glad, even that very sight appeared to be like heaven. So he approached near, stood in the line. Food was being distributed and he reached the place and he was the last man. But then the server said, sorry my man, everything is exhausted. The king looked down, there was some burnt food touching the bottom of the cooking vessel. He said, I am starving. Please give me that, whatever is sticking there. So the man scooped it up and in a leaf plate gave it to him. And the king didn't care. We also will not care. When we are that hungry, we won't care whether it is burnt or nicely fried in oil or specially ghee. That discrimination won't come. Lifted. The food reached almost his mouth. A big bird came and scooped it away. And in that struggle, all the food had fallen on the ground. Neither the bird could eat, nor could he eat. Suddenly he woke up. He found he was on his royal bed by the side of his beautiful wife, but he was dazed. So he started asking, kya wo sach hai? Kya ye sach hai? You know, there he was a man kicked out of his kingdom, starving. Here he is the king of the country on his own bed, royal bed. So from the queen woke up, the servants woke up, the ministers came running, and only this three sentences, kya wo sach hai, kya ye sach hai, kya sach hai, was that truth? Is this truth? What is the truth? What is the reality? 3 days passed. People thought he went mad. A sage suddenly entered into that village. Some people saw him. And you know, for any problems, for Hindus, sadhus are the solution. Daughter not getting married, sadhu is the solution. Daughter is having domestic problems, sadhu is. Son is not getting job, sadhu is the solution. That is the, you know, religious background. So somebody explained the thing and brought the sage to this king. And then the king asked him also, kya wo sach hai, kya ye sach hai, kya sach hai? And the sage understood his situation perfectly. Said, O king, wo bhi sach nahi hai, ye bhi sach nahi hai, tum jo pooch rahe ho, tum sach ho. Neither that was real, nor this is real. What am I talking about? The first pillar of Hinduism is Brahman. What is Brahman? Truth. What is truth? Trikala abadhitam satyam. That which never changes. That which is beyond time. Means beyond space. Means beyond causation. That alone is the truth. So what is this world? Why did I tell this story? Because if Brahman is truth, and this is not Brahman, because it is all changing. Waking state, dream state, dreamless state. These are the only three states. From birth to death, from morning till evening, this is what we are going through. So, what is the truth? Brahman alone is truth. That is the first pillar of Hinduism. What is the second pillar? The second pillar of Hinduism. The question is this. So, you say, Brahman alone is the truth. For us, Brahman is the greatest untruth. What is real? I am sitting here, that is real. If a mosquito bites me, is it real or not? Real. And if someone criticizes you behind your back and you overhear, that is the greatest truth. How do we know? Because your BP rises, that is the greatest truth. So how do you justify it? Here comes the second pillar of Hinduism. There is something which is not allowing us to experience that. Or even more precise, there is something which makes the reality as many, the one as the many, the real unchanging as the changing reality. This is the world. What is the name of that power? Maya. Maya is the name of that power. So, we talked about how many pillars? No. We said Hinduism has four pillars. But we only talked about how many pillars? If I had talked about four pillars, tell me what is the third and fourth pillar. So, first let us understand. Brahman alone is the reality, the truth. But somehow we seem not to experience it. We seem not to experience it. But all the time, what are we experiencing? Nothing but Brahman. But with the framework of time, space and causation. Desha, Kala and Nimitta. Another name for Desha, Kala, Nimitta is mind. Mind means that prism consisting of time, space and causation through which we seem to be looking at Brahman and then mistaking Brahman as this world, my body, my mind, and everything that is experienced through body and mind, or in other words, the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. Naturally, the question comes, what is the way to remove this veil, this prism, this maya, and experience Brahman as the only reality? In other words, as me, what is the way? Yes, there are two ways. That is called spiritual practice. And that's what are the third and fourth pillar. What is the third pillar? Worship God. Worship God. Who is God? The totality of this changing world is called God. Ishvara. Saguna Brahma. So what is God? Everything that we experience. What is jiva or individual soul? He who experiences everything as fragmented, finite. If we could experience everything as indivisible, as one, then we become free. So, what is the attempt? We must worship God. But how to worship God? I'm only telling very briefly. Details, you will have to ask Swami Atma Jnanananda-ji to take class on each one of them. Or several classes. So this is a good subject. If he asks you, ask me some questions, this would be a very good subject. So worship God. Which God? How many gods? In what form? There are two types of religions, Eastern religions and Western religions are Abrahamic religions, Semitic religions, meaning what? Judaism, Christianity and Islam. Yes. So they would not allow you to think of God in any other way. Hinduism's greatest contribution to the world's religious economy is this. It is in Sanskrit called Ishta Devata Siddhanta. But it is not a creation of man. It is the teaching of the Vedas based upon one particular Rigvedic mantra, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. Truth is one, but sages call it by various names. Sri Ramakrishna's famous illustration, there is a tank. Tank means with water. And there are four gods. And from one side, they call it water. Another side, Pani. Another side, Aqua. Another side, Jal. Not four different things. Same water, by four different names. So everybody is calling upon God only with the same God with different names, different forms, different qualities. So Hindu concept of God, briefly I will tell you, because this is only satsanga, this is not real talk. Hindus have three concepts of God, not three gods, three concepts of God depending upon the state of the mind, the lowest state of the mind, a little higher state of the mind, and the highest state of mind. So, to put it a little bit technically, Dvaita, Vishishta Advaita, and Advaita. But I will put it this way, God conceived as with forms, with names, and with qualities is the lowest concept. You remember the incident of Swami Vivekananda was questioned by one Maharaja, why do we worship images? You know the famous incident? I am not going into it. So you can refer Swami Vivekananda's life. So it is also necessary at a particular stage, like you know a child, alphabet, how do it be? A for? Apple. B for? B for vegetable. B for vegetable. Anyway, I won't go into the details, you know. Some of our devotees will get angry. So, like that, lowest state of mind requires to think of God with forms, names, and attributes, qualities, gunas. A little higher state of mind, then no forms, but names and attributes, qualities, the highest. What is the concept? Namo, namo, Prabhu, Vakya, Mana, Atita. These are the three. And there is no choice there. Each one of us have to go through these three steps. Highest, two steps, and then highest one. So this is called Ishta Devata Siddhanta, the pillar, third pillar called Ishta Devata Siddhanta. What is the relevance? How to overcome Maya and realize the highest truth, Brahman. We need to worship God. Now, did Buddha worship God? Is Buddhism a religion with God or without God? Sure? Is it a religion? Is it a religion? Yes. If it is religion, the only purpose is to realize God. So how can Buddha be a Nastika? No. He is talking about Namo Namo Prabhu, Vakya Mana, Atita. He is not talking about personal God. He is talking about that impersonal state. Call it Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He called it what? Special name. Nirvana. Nirvana means extinguishing all duality, Maya. That's what he called. There is something eternal, unborn, original, infinite. These are the descriptive terms Buddha had used. People don't read. Simply say he never talked about God. He did not really talk about God, but it doesn't mean that he did not preach God. It is a state. Buddha is not a name of a person, but Buddha is the name for a state of experience called Brahman, Brahmagnana. That's all. So, Ishta Devata Siddhanta. Which pillar is this? Third pillar. Now, what is the fourth pillar? It's very special. Hinduism believes in it. Buddhism believes in it. Even though Buddha did not talk about God, his whole religion is concerned only with this fourth pillar. He used to say, the results of actions of every person follows the footsteps of every person, like the wheels of a cart follow the footsteps of the oxen. He was a tremendous believer in the law of, what are we talking about? Karma Siddhanta, law of karma. And all Hindus know it. And we all talk about it. And we all accept it. And yet we do not understand what is the relationship between Karma Siddhanta and our practical lives. This is the greatest tragedy, I find. That's why I would like to bring certain incidents to your notice and we will interact. That is the purpose I brought this. All this introduction is only to talk about karma. That I am speaking to you. Is it karma, my karma or not? Yes. And it is that you are forced to listen to me. Is it your karma or not? Yes, it is also our paraspara karma. God makes it possible for us to exhaust our karma phala. Okay, let me refer to this incident. One day, you know about Thakur practice all sadhana at Dakshineswar temple, the most beautiful temples, one of the most beautiful temples in the world, not only from a beauty point of view, but from the spiritual point of view. The greatest condensation of spirituality is there at Dakshineswar. Why? If one saint practices spiritual practice and realizes God, that place becomes, what does that place become? There is a name for that. Tirtha. Narada Bhakti Sutras. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Holy places are created by holy people. One ordinary jiva, through his spiritual practice, attains realization. That place becomes capable of inspiring the other people. What to speak? An incarnation had practiced. Not only that, Dakshineswar has a special several characteristics. You know special characteristics? It was the place of the greatest parliament of religions. Where did the parliament of religions took place? Chicago. In which year? 1899? 86? Come on, which year? '93, you know, it reminds me of a small funny story. In a Christian school, they were teaching Christianity. Supposed to teach Christianity, in brief, to school children. And 1 year course was over. An inspector from outside came. He wanted to test the biblical knowledge. And then he sat in the class. The teacher was sitting in the back bench. He asked, "Hey, you, get up. Who killed Jesus Christ?" He started shivering and said, "I did not do it, sir." The inspector got annoyed and said, "Come on, who killed Jesus Christ?" Same boy said, "Sir, I'm telling the truth. So I did not kill the Jesus Christ." Third time he asked, "Who killed Jesus Christ?" The teacher got up and, "Sir, I know this boy. He's a good boy. He did not kill Jesus Christ." 1893. What was my question? When did the Parliament of Religion took place? Long before 1893. Not at Chicago, but at Dakshineswar Kali Temple. Sri Ramakrishna started the Parliament of Religions, practicing all the religions, teaching that again and again, which is so beautifully represented in a painting, I think by Suresh Chandra Mitra. Sri Ramakrishna, Jesus Christ, Buddha, all those prophets sitting and dancing. This is called Ishtadevata Siddhanta. Anyway, I'm just referring to Dakshineswar. So, after the temple was built, one day Sri Ramakrishna was outside somewhere And some visitors came. They looked at the temple and they involuntarily exclaimed, "Aha, what a beautiful temple Rani Rasmani built. What a beautiful temple Rani Rasmani built." Sri Ramakrishna heard it. We can also hear it. Would there be any reaction in us after hearing that statement? There was no reaction. There would be no reaction within us. But Sri Ramakrishna reacted. He became sad. He exclaimed, "Nobody says it is the Divine Mother who built the temple and not Rani Rasmani. Who built the temple? Who gave money to Rani Rasmani?" It is an extraordinarily dramatic event. I will not go into it. Rani Rasmani was a young girl. And somehow her marriage took place with Rajachandra, who was one of the wealthiest persons there, all by accident. And then she came. And then soon afterwards, her husband died. And soon afterwards, she decided to go on a pilgrimage. And as soon as she started, she had a divine dream in which the Divine Mother appeared and said, "You do not need to go on a pilgrimage. Whatever money you intended to spend, you build a temple. I will accept your annabhoga, you know, from here." And I have got my own twist upon this incident and say, why in hell did you not appear 6 months before she started? After 100 boats were prepared, she was about to embark, suddenly this Divine Mother remembered, "Oh, I forgot to tell her. Tonight I have to tell her." This is one version. Another version is she started, came up to the Dakshineswar present temple site. Then that night she had the dream. But the Rani had wonderful dream and she built it. You know the story, no priest was ready. Then their opinion was asked of Ram Kumar. He said, yes, it could be done if it is done this way. And he himself had to come, open the temple. And then afterwards, Ramakrishna did not like it. But he became the priest and the subsequent drama, whole drama was unfolded. What is my point now? Who built the temple? It is the Divine Mother's will. Why did she do that? Because that is the Rangasthala for Sri Ramakrishna's divine play. And that is the root cause of all our problems. Had she not built that temple, there would not have been Ramakrishna drama. Had there not been Ramakrishna drama, this Washington Vedanta Society would not have come into being. Had it not been there, I would not have come here. You would not have come here. Do you understand now the karma phala, how it catches up? It goes long before. Anyway, it's a good karma phala, I hope. One incident. Better incident, I want to refer. We are talking about what? Karma Siddhanta. Which is the pillar? Fourth pillar. You know, Sri Ramakrishna's father, Kshudiram, extraordinarily truthful person. And you know what happened before Ramakrishna's birth? You know what happened? There was a Jamindar. He was a wicked person. And he once asked Kshudiram to bear false witness. And he refused. And then as a result, he got angry with him. And he instituted a court case against Kshudiram. And Kshudiram lost everything. Everything. House, 33 acres of wet land. He was fairly well to do. Lost. You know, this was the incident. What is my question now? Now, who deprived Kshudiram of all this property? We are talking about karma phala. Answer, I want you to answer me. Who deprived? Wicked Jamindar? His own karma phala? Divine Mother? Come on, jog a little bit and then come on out. Raghuveer himself, you know, his karma phala, he was thrown out for 13 years. What can he do? Okay, come on. Who is it? Wonderful. Two answers now we have got. Karma phala and Divine Mother's will, God's will. Are they opposed to each other? Because Divine Mother or God works through our karma phala. That is the Vedantic concept of Ishvara. So, an interesting question. I will put it here. Usually we say, who created this universe? This world? Who created? Okay, Parashakti, Ishvara, God, one and the same. Vedanta doesn't accept this at all. Do you know what they say? It is all of our karma phala that made this universe so that we could work out, exhaust and create new karmas. Ishvara has nothing to do with this world at all. As I said, I'm not going into the details now. My only question here is that who deprived Kshudiram of all. That means that was one incident. You will have to add every incident that happens not only in his life, in our lives also. Not only dukkha, even sukha. Because we know our question. Do you have a question? When you are eating first class rasagolla, what bad karma I have done that I am forced to eat this sweetest rasagolla. Have you ever questioned? No. The complaint comes only from one side. Be careful. Next time when you are about to complain, you complain about both. Then God will listen. Otherwise, no. It's called convenient prayer. Convenient Vedanta. Okay. So, it is the combination. There is no difference between divine will and karma phala. This is a beautiful thought to be thought very deeply because Sri Ramakrishna's statements, every statement is a pure Vedanta. The breeze of God's grace is always blowing. Unfurl your... What does that mean? So is it that you pray to him and God is ready to bestow his grace or his grace is already there? And do you pray for air? Oh, Vayudevata, please return soon from your holiday. We are suffering. Or is he, will he ever go on a holiday? And what do you need to do? Open the windows. Is it not? If you want good breeze to come, open the windows. If you want the light to come, then you will have to draw the curtains. Is it not? Yes. So what is the question now? What was the question? We are talking about karma and karma phala. What is the question? Whatever happened in Kshudiram's life happened by the will of what? Divine will and his karma phala through divine will. Now, second question. How did Kshudiram himself take that incident? These are all our opinions, you know. How did he take? It is there. The answer is there in the Sri Ramakrishna Leela Prasanga, great master. What was the answer? He said, Raghuveer, you gave me, you took away. It is thy will, no regret, no incriminating, no abusing or finding fault with anybody. He said, it is thy will and I will gladly accept. That was his statement because he was a divine soul. Third, he lost. Only did he only lose or did he gain something?
You always gain something.
Not always, I'm asking that particular incident. He lost earthly possessions. What did he gain? What did he gain? God himself chose to be born in his family. What else do you want? Suppose God comes and says, you sell your house and give it away, I will come to you. What will you do? You know, there was an atheist. He was walking in a mountain path and he slipped, fell down. And halfway through, he found a branch of a tree was jutting out. He caught hold of atheist, remember. Atheist. So he thought, this is the right time to find out whether there is there anyone up there. So he looked up and said, is there anyone up there? Yes. I am God. I am there. What can I do? This fellow said, if you are there, then come and rescue me. God said, fine, I will do that. Let go of the branch. I will hold you from bottom. He thought a little bit. Is there anyone else up there? So complete, total faith in the will of God as the best thing to happen. We all sing, you know, Shakali tomari icha icha mai tara tumi kare dauma brahma podho kare koroma adhogami kare koroma adhogami amar korbe na. Shakala another korbe, that is okay. But don't do it to me. Always keep in Brahmapada. No. Whatever happens, accept. Kshudiram accepted. And what did he gain? God himself he gained because he had the tremendous trust in God. So, sukhe dukhe. In happiness, in unhappiness. Whatever be the situation, he accepted it at God's will. That is the true nature of a devotee. So why did I refer to this Karma Siddhanta? Because to make only one point, what jo hona hoga, whatever is going to happen, is going to happen. And whatever is not going to happen, is never going to happen. But here is the crux of Karma Siddhanta. Whatever happens is for good. Whatever happens is for good. We may not understand it now. We may understand it long after, next birth. But always when we look back, we do understand that whatever happens is by the will of God. That means our own karma phala. And karma phala is always good. Temporarily, there may be seem to be a setback. But it is a great lesson. Lesson for what? So that God is always taking us up and up and up until we reach his lotus feet. So this dukkha, suffering, misery is what? Is the gift of God. Who said that? Misery is the gift of God. Who said that? Holy Mother. Do you believe in Holy Mother saying? Then you have to accept. Misery is the gift of God. Whatever happens, good, bad, everything is the gift of God. That is the point. So, Karma Siddhanta. We discussed how many pillars now?
Four
pillars. What did I say? What was the topic? Hinduism is easy to understand, easy also to explain. Hinduism, the real name for Hinduism is Vaidika Dharma or Vedanta. A follower of Vedanta is called Vedanti. And Vedanta, our popular name Hinduism, stands on four pillars. The first pillar is called Brahman, the only absolute unchanging reality. But because of some power, whatever you call it, we are unable to understand it, and that power is called Maya, but Maya is goading us. This is not you. Your real nature is something. And to facilitate the progress, Hinduism also brings the two other pillars, Siddhanta we call it, Ishta Devata, worship God, any form you like, with any quality you like, with any name you like. The only condition is love sincerely, deeply. What is the fourth pillar? Karma Siddhanta. So Karma Siddhanta also includes two more things, very briefly. Special contribution of Hinduism, it believes God incarnates in a special way in every age. Every age means what? Whenever it is needed. You know, when adharma increases, when dharma decreases, I incarnate myself and establish, re-establish dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskrutam dharma samsthapanardaya sambhavami yuge yuge. This is the most wonderful promise of Bhagavan. When you need, I'll be with you. That is the idea. So Karma Siddhanta includes how many things? The results of karma and the incarnation of God and one more thing. What is that one more thing? Punarjanma. We had many past lives. We would be having many future lives. Until we reach God, we will be given opportunity. What is every life? It's a fresh opportunity for us to renew our sadhana, and every past life acts as a goad, as a spring, as a stepping stone, so that we can progress. That's why evolution. Evolution. Evolution progresses in three stages according to Swami Vivekananda. First, from instinct, reason, instinct to reason. Reason to intuition. Animal stage, instinct. Human stage, reason. Divine stage, intuition. Why I brought up this subject? Until you develop intuition, you should be in tuition. So attend my talks regularly. Do not skip them. That is the only way for you. Yeah. This is also put beautifully. Dvaita, Visishtadvaita and Advaita. All these are included in Karma Siddhanta. So remember, Hinduism stands on four pillars. Brahman, Maya, Ishtadevata Siddhanta and Karma Siddhanta. If you have understood these four, you have understood the entire lot. Rest is explanation. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.